Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV. We have a fantastic show for you. We're doing it the easy way, baby, and we're giving you the easy way to success. Are you ready to ride with your host, Eric Zuli? Check out his blog at HollywoodGetGuy.com and follow him on Twitter at Eric Zuli. Here he is, the hardest working man in Hollywood, Eric E. Z. Zuli.
What's up to everybody on this wonderful Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, whatever time it is to you, whatever side of the world you might be on, because I know we are international and we are national. We're having a blast, and you know me, I'm always giving love to the fans, man. Love the fans. Love everybody that is always supporting, and without you guys, we have nothing. So the first shout out I want to do, the first line of support I want to definitely shout out there is all the fans, everybody that's tweeted, that's retweeted, that's done the Facebook blast, that's emailed. I mean, all the support. I mean, we've had, I think, about over 48 different retweets for this show. We got a wonderful, wonderful guest. Awesome, awesome things happening, and as I always do, we're going to start out with a trippy, trending topic, and I'm looking at this, and the first thing I'm seeing is a big OMG with an exclamation point. How many of you out there that are listening know who Miley Cyrus is? I think everybody knows who Miley Cyrus is. So I'm looking at something from US Weekly, actually. It says, picture Miley Cyrus kisses Angus T. Jones on 2.5 Men. Ooh, what are you doing, Miley? So, basically what it reads is, Miley Cyrus, 19, has been engaged to Australian actor Liam Hemsworth since June, but she recently shared a passionate smooch with another man. 2.5 Men's Angus T. Jones. Trouble in Paradise? Nope. The kiss was part of the Cyrus October 18th guest stint on the sitcom as Missy, the quirky, chatty daughter of Walden's Ashton Kutcher's old friend and a love interest for Jake Jones. In the first of the starlet's two episodes on the show, Missy sat on the beach with Jake, who had just come back from the military, and gabbed instantly until he quieted her and they accepted a smooch together. So I thought that was cool. If you want to read more, you guys can go to the Yahoo, and that's up there right now, and that's our trippy trending topic for today. Yes, sir. So like I said, I want to definitely shout out everybody, all the supporters. We got some awesome things happening. We got a great guest. I'm your man, Eric Zuli. Eric Zuli Easy, the Hollywood It Guy, and this is the second show, Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV. And Easy Way Broadcasting is just trying to make it a little bit easier on you guys, the listeners, the supporters. And, we just got our little Easy Way movement and everything. And it is powered by WTVNetworks.com, which is a pretty powerful web TV network, which is turning into some other things. You guys can check it out, WTVNetworks.com. Click on Easy Way Radio, and you will see our guest. You will see some cool videos we did with him in the past. And we kind of grew up with this guy. He's been a long, long, long time friend of mine. Known Mr. Kirby Britton for quite some time now. He's an amazing producer, writer, very respected in the industry. And this man's making it happen, man. He's making some real strong power moves happen. And I just want to make sure you guys know that you can go to WTVNetworks.com and you can click on Easy Way Radio, and you'll see everything we're talking about. So here's a little info on Mr. Kirby before we bring him on the show. And he wrote this, so you guys can tell he's a master writer. One of the most exciting rising stars to descend upon Hollywood. Actually, no, he didn't write this. Did he write this? I think we all wrote it together. But, one of the most exciting rising stars to descend upon Hollywood in recent years is writer-producer Kirby Britton. With his 2010 breakout indie feature film, the urban courtroom drama thriller The Lying Truth, established Britton as a producer on the horizon to watch. Next came the political thriller Terminate Life Cycle, 2014. The Chicago native was tapped to write starring a Who's list in Hollywood's elite A-list roster. Coming to Los Angeles 12 years ago after a successful run as a playwright based in Denver, Colorado, Kirby began hanging around the networking on the production sets for film and TV alike, eventually scoring an opportunity to serve as the contributing writer on several pilots and season shows, including Fox TV's 24. Man, that was one of my favorite shows. And if you guys love 24, you know, make sure you call us out here in the studio. We're going to be live. The lines are open, 914-338-1303. That's 914-338-1303. Currently, he's been very busy these days writing and producing projects for film and television through his own production engine, Kirby Britton Entertainment LLC. The first project to roll out next year is the highly anticipated female-driven drama series, Girls of Prey. Yeah, I like that. All right, I want to watch that. In which Britton will make his directorial debut, the creative dynamo definitely has the pulse on the industry, and it's no wonder why Kirby Britton will be one of the watched for many, many years to come. This man is in my eyes, he's just amazing when it comes to producing and writing and creativity, and, I mean, he's just amazing. His name is Kirby Britton. He's a writer, producer, very, very good friend of mine. I'm proud to call him a longtime friend for over 6 years. Kirby Britton, come on down. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pierre. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
I know you were saying thank you, and we had to give you that red carpet treatment. What's up, man? How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. You know what? First, I want just like to begin our dialogue by just saying congratulations to you and your show. This is going to be such a huge blessing for you and the entire WTV Network family, and I'm just not surprised, man. So congratulations to you, and thank you for such a warm reception. I can't believe we're doing this. This is just amazing, man. So, again, from the man to know in Hollywood, I'm just, oh, my God, this is so cool to be here.
Well, thank you, brother. We appreciate you being a guest on the show. I mean, you're living in that producer world and writing up all the wonderful concepts and everything. So, you know, tell us about, you know, your story, man. We always wanted to get to know you first. I mean, and I know a lot of listeners are probably wondering what's going on in the eyes and the thoughts and the mindset of a skilled, established, and growing to be more established producer like yourself. Where are you from? You know, tell us about your family. What was your inspirations? Why did you become a producer?
Wow, it's let's see here. I came here 13, nearly 13 years ago. I still remember that it was raining like cats and dogs when I came out here. I'm a writer, so I tend to obviously the dramatics. I pay attention to every detail even in my personal story, but. Yeah, 13 years ago on February the 13th in 2000, I came out in L.A., didn't know a soul in Hollywood, and it was after I had a successful run. I did have a successful run as a playwright in Denver, and I wrote, produced, and directed a very ambitious off-Broadway production of the Madam C.J. Walker story. And in short, Madam C.J. Walker was a cosmetic entrepreneur back in the beginning of the 20th century. So this was an African-American woman that actually became a millionaire a few years before Estee Lauder came on board in England. So obviously that was the historical significance of that story. You know, this lady became a multimillionaire, an African-American multimillionaire in the cosmetics line. She basically did it with the straightening comb for hair back in 1916. So I did a play on her, and you know, ABC News, you know, the Denver affiliate there in Colorado, really took me inside and just embraced the production, and it ran for, you know, 1 week, and every week they gave me a standing ovation, and I just at that point I just knew I was at some pretty important crossroads in my life and my career, and I was like, you know what, Kirby, if you're going to do this, there's only one way to do it, and actually, you know, to push it to the limit, and you gotta test your waters and take the greatest test that you're going to ever take, and that's come out to Hollywood, and that's exactly what I did, man.
Ah, the wonderful world of Hollywood. So what happened after you stepped into the wonderful Hollywood. I don't even know what to say. Hollywood is so different.
Yeah. <I know. laughs> Well, you know what? I think, you know, a part of that was, you know, I think just going back, so a boyhood dream. I think anyone, including yourself, I think any highly creative individuals, or if you're more entrepreneur-minded, I think anyone, it goes back from, I don't think people just have those dreams overnight. It's we definitely have fostered some of those dreams from our childhood, and I was no exception. So to come out here and to see it all live and dynamically, you know, in person, it was at times it got a bit overwhelming, but I did it. I came out. I hit the ground running with the networking. I did. The first year I got out here, I went back and made the trek back to Sundance. And I attended Sundance, the Sundance Film Festival of 2001. And it was just, it was amazing. Make some wonderful contacts. They kind of set up what I thought was going to, you know, well, it kind of did leave because I ended up writing for the first pilot that I wrote for. It was a show called Correction Officer starring Blair Underwood and Marcello Thetford. And I was a contributing writer for the pilot for that show, and I just kept it going. I got involved in the DGA. I met Mr. Sidney Poitier. You know, that was one of the greatest moments of my life and my career. And
oh, I thought it was when you met me. Oh.
Yeah, you was actually the second one, but. But yeah, just staying grounded and working very hard. I was very tenacious in my efforts, man, and I kept working and putting more polishing on my craft as a screenwriter, and continue to do that. And I signed with the Montel Rose Dreyfus Agency around 2005. Joanne Carroll took me on exclusively, you know. As a client there, and I just, you know, and she was the one that set up an interview with the Fox diversity people over at Fox Studios, and that kind of led to me hanging around the set of 24. And, you know, when everything took off, and I got that opportunity back in 06, and it just from there, it really, the seeds that I planted earlier started to grow and sprout up, and it's just been an amazing ride, man. It really has. I'm so fortunate. I'm still growing and building a career, project after project, with solid relationships, and you're definitely one of those. But that's what it takes. You really can't keep your eye off the prize. You want to have a high sense of integrity about what you're doing. You know, have a lot of polish on your craft, and be very prepared if whether you're going to be in front of the camera or behind the camera. So when the opportunity does break, you're ready to receive it and you know, and to stay in the door. And just from there, just, you know, I think a lot of that is having your faith, being faith-based and whatever that means to anyone. And just know where your blessings come from, man. And I already had that. And it you know, it took off. And I'm just enjoying the ride, buddy. I really am. It's just this amazing journey.
Round of applause for the faith-based part. Oh, yeah, definitely. Got to have the faith. Got to have the faith. All right, you guys are listening to Easy Way Broadcasting. I'm your host, Eric Easy Zuli. Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV. The lines are open, 914-338-1303. We have our wonderful guest, Kirby Britton, writer-producer. Man, this man's done contributing writing for the show 24 on Fox. He's worked with Universal. He's worked with, I mean, you can go on Google and you can look at everything. You can also go on WTVNetworks.com and check out a couple of videos, actually, that we did way back in the day, man. Way back in the day. You can check out those videos.
Wow, you still got those, huh?
They're up there. They're on WTVNetworks.com. You can click on Easy Way Radio, click on Kirby Britton, and they're right there at the bottom. Actually, the first video, when we were first talking about the princess, the frog, the what movie was that? The, you know what I'm talking about?
The first piece was the lawyer, the thug, and the princess.
Yes, thank you. The Lawyer, the Thug, and the Princess. Okay, so that, and that, we actually have the video on there where we're originally talking about the concept of that when we're sitting there at I can't remember what restaurant it was, but we're sitting at the table. Remember? And then
yes, we were.
Yeah, and then we met up at I believe it was Murray Callender's a year or maybe almost 2 years later, and then got you on what the progress was, you know. And I think that's pretty interesting. So if any of the listeners that are listening right now, you can actually see the progression, which is pretty cool. And now we're here, you know. And Mr. Kirby Britton, producer, writer, making some major moves happen and working with the major players. Now, since you're up in that game, Kirby, and the people that are listening right now that do want to be writers or producers, or the people that are acting, the people that would want to get to someone like you, they get to you. They shake your hand. How would you suggest that someone that meets you, how would you suggest they would pitch you? What would your approach, what do you suggest a good approach would be if they're blessed to meet, you know, a producer of your caliber?
Well, thank you for that. Well, obviously, I think if they have a lot of passion about what they're doing and what they want to do, and some things that I tend to look for is if it's a pretty clear direction in the story. Again, you know, I do get my share of pitches, and then you kind of want to know how far the development process is, and, you know, and so once that's been assessed, what I look for is the genre. Some of the things off the top that I look for is what genre of the film that it may be. I tend to favor, I love dramas. I love action thrillers. Again, comedy is great. Pretty much most of them. I mean, I haven't done a Western yet, but I'm looking for a good Western. I can't wait to see Tarantino's Django Unchained. So, you know, so those are kind of the things that I look for, and I'm really not, you know, it's not, you know, they don't have to drop any type of a talent. It's pretty much the story, because that's really where a movie comes from. It begins with literally a screenplay and what kind of story is intact on paper. And if that's right, then everything else is a gradual process. But that individual just needs to know that, again, making a movie is a very complex process. And, you know, just don't be expecting anything overnight. And from there, it surely, you know, would just, it would take a life of its own.
Gotcha. And we have a caller, actually. And sometimes, you guys, we have callers that are actually, they're just calling in to just listen to the show. They may not want to be brought on live on air, but we're going to go ahead and try to bring this caller on. Maybe they have a question for you, Kirby. Remember, you guys, you're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV. This is the Easy Way Show. I'm your host, EZ, also known as Eric Zulli, Hollywood It Guy, and we're going to go ahead and bring in caller 912-5773. If your line is 912-5773, you're live on the air. How are you?
EZ.
Hey, how you doing? Who's that?
James Napier. I'm just listening in, brother.
Oh, hey, James. How you doing? We have James Napier on the line, guys. James is a owner, founder of a charity, Sunshine Survivors Club, doing some great things. So you're live on the air, James, with myself and Kirby Britton, writer-producer. Do you have any questions?
No, I'm just with you, brother.
Well, all right, great. Well, you know, we appreciate your support, James. James is a wonderful supporter of ours. I don't think he's ever missed a show. And definitely check out Sunshine Survivors Club on Google, guys. It's a really, really awesome charity that helps kids, get by and deal with their illness situations. But hey, we appreciate you, James. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Like I said, guys, sometimes we. Yes.
No, I was just going to say, you brought up an interesting point, and I actually remember when we first had a meeting with Lil Thug Princess. We was at Jerry's Deli.
Jerry's Deli, yep, that's where it was.
Yeah.
Plug for Jerry's Deli. You guys got to send us $100 now. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I bring that up to say that incidental to that the movie ultimately changed to The Lying Truth. And as you know,
okay.
Yeah, so that is the move. That's why I want to segue into that, because the director and one of the producers, one of the lead producers of that, Ravi Gaskins, who also starred with Maya Gilbert of TNT Southland with Regina King. You're good, buddy.
Regina King, by the way, guys, I'm going to throw a little leak. She is directing a movie right now, and I can't say anything more than that, but she's got a really cool project, and we will definitely hopefully be bringing her on and talking about that. But back to you, Kirby.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that project. But anyway, the segue into that is that The Lawyer, Thug, and Princess is the film that actually became the title change before we went theatrical with the release of that, and it was released independently this past July, and it became The Lying Truth. And that's the courtroom drama that Maya Gilbert, who brought her A-game, everybody. Mara of How to Be a Player back in the day with Bill Bellamy and Reggie Gaskins and Sean Riggs, who's really doing some great work on the soap opera The Bold and Beautiful. So,
oh, yeah, shout
out
to Sean, man. Sean grew up with Sean, and he was also very, very known for Stomp the Yard.
Yeah, yes, he was. So, you know, those were the people that was on the cast, and I personally casted Maya in that film, and it's really, you know, it's really, it's took a life on its own, but it's incidental when you say the progression of that project. We met, you know, again, at a very popular deli in L.A. It was one title, and it showed people how the process of a film can be. And it ended up, you know, with a different commercial name when it was released. And that's one thing that I try to tell, aspiring writers and producers, that sometimes you can really be married to a project, you know, and it comes out one way, but by the time, you know, that the project is done and it's been fulfilled with all the creativity in it, you know, it comes out and wow, boom, it's, you know, it might even have a different name. And I experienced that with my first theatrical release, which was The Lying Truth.
Congratulations, man. Yeah, I didn't know you even changed the name. All right, guys, well, you're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting once again. For anybody that might be tuning in, lines are open, 914-338-1303. I'm your host, Eric Easy Zui, the Hollywood It Guy. You can check out the blog, HollywoodItGuy.com. And we're going to be right back, and when we come back, we're gonna do Brag Time. It's a cool little segment I do, Brag Time. We give the guests their chance to brag all they want. There's nothing wrong with it. I give you full permission to brag, Mr. Kirby. But we're going to be right back, get a couple shout-outs for the show, the love and support, and then Kirby gets a brag.
Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way.
I'm Aubrey O'Day, and I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm doing Hollywood the easy way.
What up, y'all? It's your partner, Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood, and guess what? I'm doing it the easy way. You're doing it the easy way. All of us are doing it the easy way.
Hi, I'm Larry Namer, co-founder of E! Entertainment Television, now president of Meitong Development Group, which works mainly in China. I really wanted to say a few words about Eric Zui, or EZ, as a lot of people know him. I just want to say, Eric, keep up the dedication, the perseverance, and the creativity. You're helping to change the media world.
Jake Busey, I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Oba Babatunde here, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Jimmy from Crazy Town, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Yo, this is Ray J, and it's all about doing it the easy way.
Hey, this is Brady Connell. I'm the executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and I've decided to do Hollywood the easy way.
Hello, I'm Tatiana Ali, and I do Hollywood the easy way.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Hollywood It Guy here. Follow me on Twitter, ERICZULEY, Eric Zuley. If you want to know how to make money on the internet and you want to be promoted the easy way, you got to check out TheEasyShow.com, TheWTV.com, and HollywoodItGuy.com. We're helping those celebrities interact with their fans, the fans interact with the celebrities, showing you the hot Hollywood content. So, hey, come do it the easy way. Check us out.
All right, guys, it is brag time. Here we go. This is where I guess gets the full permission to not be modest, not do any of that, oh, well, I'm no modesty whatsoever. We got Kirby Britton on the line, producer, writer, extraordinaire, doing some big things. We're going to let him come in real quick here. And Kirby, you there? You still there on the show?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
All right, so you get to brag, man. You got 5 minutes to brag all you want.
Oh,
what is going on with you? No holding back. If you got leaks for our show, we love leaks, and we'll fix them.
Oh, my God. And I'm going to get you for this, man. Absolutely had no idea. You set me up good. But, well, I have to say this. I'm not known for my bragging.
Exactly.
That is for sure. And I say that with a badge of honor. So you're going to make me just toss the bag all together.
Yep. You have full permission. You must brag.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to replace the word brag with proud. And again, I'm just so very proud of my latest project. And it's going to be an all-girl cast. I'm just absolutely just...
Wait, all-girl cast? And I'm being casted as the co-lead with that, right?
So, you know, that's one thing that I'm so proud about is Girls of Praise is going to be a phenomenal, sensational show. I think it's going to be a groundbreaking show on many different levels because it's about five different, diverse, unique women who are serious musicians and singers, and they experience phenomenal success. And I wrote it for and created it for cable television. And I say that because the show is going to be, it's going to have influences and set many different trends in several different industries other than music, the fashion industry of what these women are going to be wearing, everything, their culture, their lifestyle, how they go about their relationships. So to be at the core of something like that, yeah, if you want to call it brag, I guess, you know, again, I take 2 cents in that, but I'm very proud about the message that's going to be going forth of what actually women do encounter, and even some of the cloaker and dagger pitfalls in the, you know, the music industry, what can be a little dark and chaotic at times. And it's going to be a 100-mile-an-hour show, and a lot of my friends, Morris Chestnut, is going to be making appearances. My good friend Eric Easy Zuli is going to be making appearances.
Oh, watch out.
And I mean, it's really well. I think that's worth the brag, and I can't wait to see it launch next season. I'm going to be going behind the camera, making my directorial debut with it. And I mean, it's I got one character that was inspired from Alicia Keys' career. So, can you imagine some of the guest stars that's going to be on this show? So it's going to be so hot. I mean, you know, we're going to have a freezer on set for people to go and stand in it to cool off. So
I can just wait.
Really,
yep.
You know. And
So the project's called what?
Girls of Prey. And
Girls
that's a play
of Prey.
On, yeah, Girls of Prey. It's a play on words on how women sometimes are preyed upon in show business.
I like that. That's creative. That's clever. And do you have a shoot date, or are you what process is the project in right now?
Right now we're moving through pretty much, I would have to say, maybe middle of pre-development with it. So if I don't, I like to go ahead. We're working on and seeing if we can go ahead and get it shot, because the pilot is already, I've already composed the pilot for it and get it shot before we move into the holiday season. If that's the case, then it will be the closing project for the year. If not, then definitely I won't allow another project to be before this one next year. It will be the first one out of the gate in the first quarter of next year and shooting this. And like I said, it's ideally this is something that we want to take. I don't know if I can actually show, say the network name, because it's not, you know, done deal, but I'm going to say a major cable network. How about that? And
well, let me tell you something. On my show, you better be really sure what you say, because we love Blog Talk Radio and we love all of our supporters. And our first show we actually did, the first broadcast we ever did, had an easy, play in words, 8,000 listens in 2 days. So watch out what you say. Man Kirby,
right,
you're the man,
do.
And we have a couple callers. We have a caller we're going to go ahead and bring in here, caller 310-0976. If your number is 310 ending in 0976, you're on live on the air with Kirby and EZ. How are you?
Hello, this is Price.
Hi, Price. How you doing? You're on there. You're doing it the easy way with Kirby and EZ. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from and what's going on with you, what your question is.
Calling from, you know, Los Angeles. I have a question for Kirby.
Please do.
Hi, Price. How are you?
Yes. I'm an aspiring young writer, and one thing I was wondering was, do you change your style of writing based on what kind of thing you're doing, like what project, whether it's a episode or a TV show or a script of a film? You know, is that a different type of writing? I know the format's different, but I'm thinking, is the style different? Is anything else different?
Okay, let me see if I understand you. So it sounded like you were saying that, did you change your style of writing based on the demands of what you see on the programs that are being aired?
No, just what kind of project you're doing, whether it's a episode of a TV show or a play or a script for a movie.
Oh, yes. Okay, to answer that question, of course, and obviously
you're
not a big supporter. It is a great question. It's more on right on the craft of screenwriting, but that's a great question. But yes, you may know this. So again, I definitely don't. Please excuse me if I say something that you may be aware of. But yes, of course, there are various different formats. So if, for example, when I wrote, when I'm working on a TV project, again, there's a format for television that looks a little different than when you write for film, i.e., here's a good example of that. You typically don't write a lot of the transitional commands when you write for television, like cut to, dissolve, things like that. That's normally, you give those transitions for film. When you write for television, you really don't write any cut tos, because unless you're going to be directing. You don't write that way. It's just pretty much one. You go from one scene to the next. You can write if there's a scene, and I wrote a scene similar to what I'm going to tell you now. There's a scene there's a Hollywood party scene at the home of a music executive. So there's many other different. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the house. You follow me? So
yeah.
When you write those, you can write. You know, you write first the master scene, and then from there, let's say the actor is talking to a different set of the cast members, different actors. It's scene sequence B. If I go to a different actor and there's a different guest star, scene sequence C. But the master shot is Hollywood party at, it's still going on, but it's a different, these are different scene sequences in the mother scene. So to answer your question, yes, there are different formats that a writer should obey. And for example, when you write for television or a play, of course, you typically number the acts. If it's a half hour, if it's a situation comedy, obviously we call those sitcoms. But if it's those are always half hours. You typically can write those within two acts. If it's an hour drama, those can be written pretty much typically in three acts. And film is normally wrote in three acts, too. I'll pretty much always write a three-act screenplay, if that can answer your question.
All right. That's great information for me as a writer.
No problem,
do you like
man.
To write best, film, TV, plays, what? I just am picking your brain here.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah,
you
have one more question to do that, because we really do appreciate our guests, but I believe you do. You can follow him on Twitter if you want to know more, but we definitely got to get back to the show. But we appreciate you calling in. Definitely want to get you your info. So go ahead and answer this question, Kirby, and then we're going to get to the next caller.
No problem. Okay, then. I typically like – I do dramas. I love to – again, I do – comedy is great, but I think my foray will definitely be drama, action, thriller. I love to do those because you can do so much more with the character. Drama is shot close, of course, and you shoot comedy long. Mr. Charlie Chaplin taught us that. So that's kind of what I favor like to do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kirby. Thank you so much, Price, for calling in. Please follow
great
us on
question,
Twitter.
Great question,
Price. And thank you, too, Kirby, and thank you, Eric. This was great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for calling in. Have an awesome day. Follow us at Eric Zuli and Kirby Britton on Twitter, and keep in touch.
Okay.
All right, guys, we have another caller. Caller 310-5535. If your last digits are ending in 5535, you're on the live on Easy Way Broadcasting with Easy and Kirby Britton. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Eric and Kirby, this is Stephania. How are you?
Hey, Steph!
Hi, I'm calling in. I got to show some support and introduce myself and show some support to Kirby for his amazing project, Girls of Prey, that he's actually asked me to collaborate and be a part of the team as music supervisor.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so I just had to call in and show some support. I've been listening.
Eric, this is an amazing music producer. She's going to be my collaborator on the show, and this is Stephania McGowan. And, oh, my God, I wish I had more time to actually chat with her, but she is awesome at what she does, and what a powerhouse. I think she just got back from Paris, too. Is that right, Steph?
I did, and I just wanted to call briefly and
okay.
I'm at a session at 3, but, you know, the main thing I wanted to say is, you know, being a part of this, I really hope to create, you know, my role as music supervisor really is to be responsible for creating Kirby's musical vision for this, and I really hope to create inspiration after reading the script and being a part of it. That's what I really hope to create, some inspiration.
Well, Stephanie, and understand that you need to go. If you could explain yourself in 30 seconds or less, can you go ahead and do that?
That's really it. I mean, I really want to create an impressive, emotional, you know, heartfelt landscape, soundtrack of music that's...
No, what I mean, I'm sorry, let me rephrase the question. Who are you? Like, my listeners are listening to a caller in a powerhouse, and we're going to be on the edge of our seats wondering who called in.
My name is Stephania McGowan. My role in working in with Kirby's project is music supervisor, and that's my role, to be creating, you know, the musical vision for Kirby.
Have you worked with anybody else, any other bigger names, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I'm very humble, and I don't, you know, the most recent project is you know, I want to, you know, my call was to support Kirby, but in this project.
But you called in right in the middle of brag time. You're in the session of brag
time. Oh, my God, Eric.
You have full permission to brag.
I'm currently working on a documentary, you know, that's going to be featuring a world tour and a soundtrack called Nice and Rough. It's Black Women in Rock. It features Cindy Blackman, Rhonda Smith, Nona Hendrix, Skin, Honeychild Coleman, Judas Priest, you name it, Nona Hendrix. I mean,
awesome.
The list goes on. I've worked up quite a few things, but I really, my main agenda for calling is really just to support. I'm really excited about this project that Kirby's putting me in on.
Well, that's awesome that you're calling and supporting, you know, Kirby. And by the way, guys, let this be a little lesson to any of the listeners. It's all about support. You know, the more you support, the more you're going to get support back, and it's all about your team. And thank you so much for calling in and being live on air to support Kirby. He's amazing.
Thank you. We'll be in touch, Kirby. Thank you, Eric.
You got it, sweetie. All right, bye-bye.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
She's
okay,
amazing.
Kirby, and who was that one more time that just called in?
That was Stephania McGowan. Let me just, again, take 20 seconds. I have to do this. But anybody who's in the music industry, if you've ever heard of George Duke, and George Duke is a legend in music. I mean, when you mention the names like Quincy Jones, when you mention Ray Charles, I mean, I'm coming a little bit more. When you mention Michael Nerato, Walden, people like that, George Duke is a powerhouse producer, prolific pianist, and composer. So Stephanie actually comes from being mentored for so many years. I mean, let me put it to you like this also. When I called Stephanie to talk about my project, she had me on, she said, Kirby, hold on. And I'm like, who is this guy he's talking, you know, my Shizzle and all this. Literally had me on the phone with Mr. Snoop Dogg. And I was like, oh, my God. so he said, no, brother, you can hang out. You know, he's real smooth like that. But she works with anybody who's anybody ever done anything of relevancy in this industry, and she won't tell you that. And that's just what she, you know, she just got off the movie Trouble with Bliss with Lucy Liu and Michael C. Hall of Dexter on Showtime. And like I said, she's not the one that will probably participate in Brag Time, but her resume reads like anybody who's getting ready to present or receive an award at the Grammys. She can stand beside all of them.
She's at that presenter level, kind of like you did when I received my first award.
Yes, and she can do that. But she's somebody that somebody like Herbie Hancock or George Duke or Stanley Clark, would be maybe presenting her award for, you know, Songwriter of the Year. She's on, and I'm just so very fortunate and blessed to have her. That again, this is somebody who brought a reunion with Chris Brown and Rihanna. And again, she didn't even share that, but that's what she was doing. And, you know, that's what she does. She was in Paris working with, you know, a lot of, you know, their household brands. And
wow,
it just, you know, but she was calling to support me. That's the kind of person that she is. That's the kind of character that she has.
Well, props to her for bringing those two together, because I know that was a controversy.
She did that, yeah. I think she's closer to Rihanna. Rihanna is, you know, almost like a little sister to her, so she was able to do that. And Snoop loves her. He was like, you know, that's me, you my girl. You know, we gonna do this, you know, to the end of time. And I was like, I was really impressed that, you know, that I was like, wow, this is he's a legend. And, you know, and she was very sweet about it. So,
Kirby, who's the first the biggest person that you've had the honor to work with and learn from?
I'll probably say someone that probably maybe had the most influence on me was my good friend, Mr. James Karen. And I'm saying Karen like the lady's name, not the other James. James Karen was in The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, and I don't know if you saw that movie, but if you did see that movie, he was the guy at the brokerage firm that was his boss, and he borrowed $5 from Will. And it was when he took his last $5, and in the end, he gave him the $5 back, and he told him, he said, you know, you might want to come back and wear a pair of pants or something the next time you come in, because you got the job. What James Karen told me, and I'll share another story with another good friend of mine. But James Karen said, Kirby, you know, when you shoot film, when you're on a project and you're rolling camera, things happen. It's amazing how things work out when you're rolling camera, and I never ever forgot that.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Yeah, he just, and basically what he was, the message in that, and he knew I would get it as a storyteller, the message is in that is that there's bold and power in the doing. You know, there's actually genius in the doing. Sometimes the biggest steps that you can ever take, Eric, is taking baby steps. It's starting the project. It's not, you don't have to know where the finish line, you know, right off the bat, but it's starting. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to be, but you have to start to be great, if that makes sense.
I love it. Great philosophy. Now, I'm going back to the casting process. Again, guys, you're listening to Easy Way Broadcast, and I'm Eric Easy Zuli, the Hollywood It Guy, with Kirby Britton, writer, producer, extraordinaire. And, Kirby, going back to the casting process, when you were talking about casting, and obviously you'd hire a casting director for something, but really the writer, the producer, the executive producer, the director, and those are the people that really make the final decision. What is it that you look for when casting? You know, is it mainly look? Is it that they killed the part? Is, you know, give us that secret of what is it the producers look for when you're looking at someone you're casting, trying to cast?
Great question. I think Well, definitely. Cosmetic has something to do with it because, again, if I have a character, any writer that has a character, obviously that character does have a look to the character. And I just think that, yeah, that definitely has maybe as much as maybe 40% of what goes into the pot. And then, too, then other than that, of course, would be the delivery of the dialogue, because what an actor does so very importantly is they are involved in interpretation. And interpretation of a story has a look and it has a voice. So we're looking for the face, and then we're looking for the voice, the right delivery, if someone can maybe connect with a character's sensitivities and maybe the passion of a character. And that's very, very important. And sometimes we can modify the look a little bit, Eric, something that, you know, if you come in and, for example, if I have a character and you, let's say a guy like Sean Penn comes, you know, like, I'm not saying it's an audition, but you take a meeting with a guy like that, and you know this is somebody who can just play, if he wanted to, an infant child. You know, he's just a brilliant actor. Well, you know, and maybe the guy ended up, when you was thinking, looked at more like a Mr. George Clooney, you know, but because maybe through relationships, Mr. Penn or whoever, another great actor, took an interest in it. You see what I'm getting to? You can modify someone, but you're looking for the staple in the actor, if they can deliver and connect with the emotional sensitivity range of a great character. And so when you're dealing with any high caliber talent on that level, or even what's coming into the room, it can be aspiring actors coming in, you can make a connection if, okay, she definitely connected with this character. You know, whether it's, I wrote it for a blonde and she happens to be a redhead, we can modify that, if that answers your question a little bit.
Definitely great advice, Kirby. And you guys are listening to Easy Way Broadcasting, with powered by WTV Networks, with Kirby Britton, writer, producer, creative genius, here giving us some great info, and we really, really appreciate it. But what, now, as far as the casting, what about before that, before you even meet them? Because I know I've heard myself that headshots are extremely important, and the type of headshot you have and how it's taken, and who's taking it, is that a big determining factor?
Part of that is depends on who's looking at the headshot and what they're looking for. So, and that's really a very gray area there. I know for me, it just depends.
Let me rephrase the question. If it's not like a high quality professional done headshot, but it's just a regular headshot, do you think that would help to hurt their maybe chances in getting picked?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. A bad headshot, I know, even, you know, and I'm not, I really haven't made a career as in front of the camera, like as an actor, but I definitely understand that bad headshots happen. Now, whether someone submitted a bad headshot intentionally, or maybe they just want just to have a visual in front of you, that all has its place. And I understand that. But it particularly wouldn't diminish maybe an audition opportunity for me if there's a resource where you can go to on IMDb and you can see various other images of an actor that you're interested in. Things like that can easily clear that up. And then from there, you're looking at maybe what kind of history they've had, obviously their resume. And those kind of things are really easy to overcome. Now, if it's a huge studio type situation where they have a little bit, you know, almost less tolerance for bad headshots, I would tell any aspiring actor or an actor who's still on the rise to, again, you want to put your best foot forward at all times. So if
again,
you know it's not your, yeah, so if you know it's not your best shot, then what, you know, I mean, you may want to, you know, think about, do you really need to submit this particular picture if you have other resources? Just something to think about.
Again, great advice. Really appreciate it. Don't mean to pick your brain too much here, but these are questions that have come to me as a Hollywood It guy. So I definitely want our listeners to understand that we're here for them and trying to help them. You know, help them. We always want to make it a little bit easier on them. Now we're about 10 minutes left into the show, Kirby, and we have another segment called Thank the Middleman. And what I want you to do is I want you to think back. I mean, there's so many questions I had for you, but I really want you to think back of maybe two or three middlemen that have helped you get a handshake to step to that next level. And I'd love to, if you want to thank them, if you want to mention their name, you're more than welcome to. But just describe those stories and those situations of those middlemen situations, or if you've ever been the middleman, and if you've ever, if you haven't benefited off it the way you should, or if you have, you know, we'd love to hear those middlemen stories.
All right, so that's a great concept.
That's because I'm easy and it's the easy way.
Right. that's a great concept, buddy. And that's absolutely much deserved recognition. I part of want to think about maybe even before I came out here, but I think again that was a moment out here when I was at a party. I just came out there. I want to say back. Maybe around 02, and I had an individual who was a little bit farther along, and it's just amazing what a simple word of praise of somebody would do, almost like what my friend Stephanie just did for me. Let me just say this. Nothing improves a person's performance better than praise, if that resonates.
Testimonials, success stories, things like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think by somebody just sharing some gems of wisdom with me and just offering, you know, some praise maybe in front of someone who stepped aside their own importance and able maybe just heard something, you know, in fact, even more recently, Mr. Daniel Yeltz. Daniel Yeltz is a legendary screenwriter. He wrote Drugstore Cowboy. And I was actually collaborating with a project with him a couple of years ago called Cunning Little Vixen. And we had Ann Margaret. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe, I'm going to be working with Ann Margaret. And that project is actually still being put together. It's so massive. But anyway, he actually had some nice words when we were talking about a story and about his script. And I gave him a very detailed analysis on his script, and he was like, he just kind of paused, even with the gentleman that introduced me to him, and said, I've never, ever had anybody give me that kind of detailed analysis of my own work, you know, better than, you know, this young man right here. And it just, you know, and even my buddy who introduced us was kind of quite surprised out of all that. And I think he said, I didn't, he even told me, he said, Kirby, I had no idea you were that really into your work. And so little things like that, you know, and Mr. Yost never forgot it. He, you know, this is a much more accomplished screenwriter who was nominated for an Academy Award, had to say those kind words to me. So, again, little things like that, people that have shared great wisdom and offered very kind words of praises, it keeps a person going sometimes when you think that you can't.
No, definitely, and definitely agree. And I always want to give praise. Like me personally, I have like thousands of people I can think of that have helped me advance to that next level because of that introduction. That's kind of what I meant. But I'll let you think about that more, and we'll definitely be bringing you on the show again. And we have our green screen show. We have a television show we're going to be doing. We have many, many other outlets that we're going to be having you on, Kirby. And we appreciate you being a guest and sharing all this wonderful wisdom. Now, do you have any Twitters, Facebooks, websites? How do our listeners get at you to follow the Kirby movement?
Thank you. I'm pretty visible out there. You know, I'm not the social media guru mastermind that you are, my friend. I'm pretty visible. Obviously, yes, I'm on Facebook. Of course, I'm on Twitter. Simply Kirby. Kirby Britton at Twitter. I have great contact information on IMDb. If you have for all of if somebody who's a little bit more professional interest, I'm on, of course, IMDb Pro, but IMDb is enough. You can find me there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on pretty much all of the majors. All of the majors, I'm there. And I'm all
that's
of my
because
contact
you are a major. You're a major leaguer, and this is a game of Hollywood, game of baseball. But hey, we appreciate it, Kirby. Thank you so much for being on the show and being a guest.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. We have really appreciated you being on. And again, guys, you're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting. Our guest today was Kirby Britton, producer, writer, extraordinaire, doing some great things. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter. Definitely follow the movement. And remember to tune in tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow. I need some hype music. We got to hype this up, man. Tomorrow, we got Shane Sparks in the house. Choreographer, dancing extraordinaire, actor, TV personality. He was the one that did all the choreography pretty much for You Got Served. If you guys remember, that was Marcus Houston or Marion. He was a judge on So You Think You Can Dance and America's Best Dance Crew. And he's got tons and tons more stuff to tell you only on Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. And you can check that out tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You go to WTVNetworks.com, click on Easy Way Broadcast. I'm sorry, Easy Way Radio. And if you're a dancer, see, I gotta keep pumping up the music. I'm getting so hype here. If you're a dancer, you're gonna get all the tips. I heard the name Rihanna. I heard Lady Gaga. I don't know. I heard crazy names of what this show is gonna be telling you. So you gotta tune in. Do not forget to tune in tomorrow. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be hype. It's going to be the best show ever when it comes to dancing. We're just going to be giving it to you the easy way. And we also want to say thank you to Price Crown, for being my Ed McMahon of the show. He's the one doing that intro and outro. We really appreciate Price Crown. You guys listen to Easy Way Broadcasting. I'm your man, Eric Easy Zuli, doing it the easy way in Hollywood. HollywoodIsGuy.com, TheEasyShow.com, and WTVNetworks.com. We will be talking to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Eric Easy Zuli on Easy Way Broadcasting. Follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Zuli to find out about his next show. And check him out at HollywoodItGuy.com. Thank you for listening.